by saying that, you know, when we deal with Parshas Dosa Bracha, you're usually dealing with the brachos that Moshe Rabbeinu doled out to all of the Shvatim, to everybody, and what they had and what they were doing. Last year we spoke about Reuven's bracha and everything that Reuven got in his bracha. This year we're going to concentrate on Yisachar Zebulun. Yisachar and Zebulun's bracha. And we're actually going to concentrate on one pasuk of it. The pasuk says in Perek Lama Gimel Pasuk Yechezel is Zebulun Amar. And to Zebulun, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Smach Zebulun B'Tzeisecha Miyisachar Bo'alecha. Zebulun should be happy in there when they go out, into seemingly the business. And Yisachar will be happy in their tents. Sitting in their tents, they're going to be happy there. Now the Pashup shot in the Pasuk, this is brought by the Bali Tosos, the Rosh, the Chizkuni, the Panach Raza, the Das Zakenim. All of them say that Moshe was blessing each of them in the lands that they received through the Goral, through their regular lotteries. Zvulin would be happy by the sea. That's the Pashup shot. He'd be happy by the sea because he was a seafarer, a boatsman, and he would be fine being able to deal with the imports and the exports of the land, dealing with everything that was going there. Yisachar was happy with the fields he was given. That's what it means by tents. He would sit in a tent outside his field, and he would watch his field, watch everything. And that's the idea behind it, that Zvulin is happy with the land he was given right by the sea. Yisachar is happy with the land he was given, which was a beautiful land filled with fruits and everything that he had right there, sitting out in the tents. And they were both happy with their own lands that were put right next to each other. The problem with that Pashup shot is, why would we put Yisachar and Zvulun together? Why would Yisachar and Zvulun share a bracha while no other Shevet shared a bracha with anybody else? Now granted, Ephraim and Manasseh shared, but that's because it was Yosef. But everybody else had their own separate Pasuk. So why would it be that Yisachar and Zvulun get to go together? Why should it be that way? So Rashi tells us that Zvulun and Yisachar made a deal together. They made a connection with one another. They made a partnership. Zvulun lived by the Mediterranean. He had a port there. He would go out and do business and ships and make money. And he would use it to support Yisachar, who would sit and learn Torah. That's the deal that Rashi says Yisachar and Zvulun made with one another. Zvulun is even placed before Yisachar, since the only way Yisachar could learn, he could sit and learn, was through the generosity of Zvulun. Without Zvulun, Yisachar wouldn't be able to do what he's doing. So because of that, Yisachar is only Yisachar because of Zvulun, therefore Zvulun is put first. That's how Rashi puts it. That's the idea behind it.
Is anybody else up? Supporting Torah is greater than learning?
So we're going to get to that concept. The concept of where support is always going to be greater. We're going to talk about that. The Chidah talks about what ends up happening. We're going to see. I mean, you notice something from the Pasuk itself. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. That Zvulun is happy when he goes out. Yisachar bo'alecha. Yisachar is happy about his tent. It sounds like b'tzeisecha is when he leaves the world. That Zvulun is going to be happier in the world to come than Yisachar. We'll have to talk about that.
Targum Glisson first.
Right, since he's put first before everybody else. Targum Glisson and Yonazim Nazil both say that the bracha is that they should be happy with their decisions. Zvulun should not regret that he left the world of Torah to go out into business. He should be happy that that's his lot in life and this is what he needs to do. He should be happy with all of his business efforts and everything that he does. And Yisachar should be happy with his choice to be able to sit and learn. Not always is it easy. If somebody would tell me today, I'd pay you to sit in Kolel and sit and learn all day. Although it sounds like a tantalizing offer. And I'd say to myself, wow, that sounds amazing. I don't know if I could do it. To sit and learn for 10, 12 hours a day with a chavrusa, or maybe by myself, and not teach and not be involved with anything else. I don't know if I'd be able to do it. Yes, I'm able to learn during the day, but to actually go back into Kolel and just be learning all day long is a hard proposition. Yisachar should be happy that this is his lot in life, that he's able to sit in the base medrash and learn all day. That should be, they're both going to be happy. They should not regret their decisions. They should be happy what they chose as a Sheva together, what they're going to do. The Chidah, the Chassam Sofer, and the Netziv say it a little bit differently. They say that Zvulun went out to war, and that's what it means by B'tzei Tzacha. Not that they went out to business, but they went out to war. And Yisachar supported them by learning while they were going out to war. That there were some that were going out to war and other people that learned. So it's the opposite, according to them. According to the first shot that we gave, it's that Zvulun was supporting Yisachar, and that Zvulun was making sure that Yisachar could learn. Here it's the opposite. Zvulun's going to go out to war, and Yisachar is supporting Zvulun, and making sure that they were going to be able to make it, that their war efforts were going to be successful. They all say that Zvulun would not be upset. He wouldn't be worried when he went out to war. That smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. He's going to be happy knowing that Yisachar bo'alecha. Yisachar is in their tents. They're learning for me. They're davening for me. They're going to be taken care of. There's a beautiful thing that just happened over the last 3 years in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember it happening back in the day when I was in Eretz Yisrael, but over the last couple years, it's been more popular, where everybody in yeshiva takes the name of a soldier who's at war. Everybody gets a name. They divvy out all these different names. They get a name from everybody out there. They give it out to all these people. And the people that are learning in the schus of that soldier who's going out to war. It's an amazing idea. I'm sorry?
That soldier dies.
They don't, because you're learning for them. It's the people that don't care. You hope that your learning is going to be able to save that soldier. And that's what you're really doing. You're davening that that soldier should have everything saved for them. It's such an amazing idea. That's Parshas Matos. That's what they had. They had 12,000 men that went to war. They had 12,000 men that learned. That's Elif Lamata, Elif Lamata. And the way the Midrashim say it is Elif Lamata that went out to war, and Elif Lamata that went to go learn for them. It's an unbelievable idea, and that's the pshat, they say, behind this idea, behind what's going on here. The Ramban says a little bit differently. Now, this is my take on the Ramban. I am not positive this is what the Ramban says, and I didn't see this anywhere, but my understanding of the Ramban is the following. Many people would not choose a life of travel, where you're traveling all the time and going on boats and going from one place to the other. There are many people who would say, I'm not into that. But Zvulun chose it for themselves, and they wanted it. Why? To publicize God's name to the world. They're not just sitting in their own little tents, in other words, in a base medrash somewhere, learning for themselves. They're going out to the world and showing everyone what it's like to be a servant of God, to be a warrior in God's army. That's what they're doing. So to speak, the Lubavitch mentality of understanding that you're the light unto the nations, that you work for others, and you go out into the weirdest place in the world so that you help others when they're in an issue, a situation where they won't know. And you show other people, not just Jews, but other non-Jews as well, what it's like to be out there. Says the way that I'm understanding the Ramban is that Zvulun was happy to go out and make that effect, to make that idea that goes at other people. Yisachar was happy with his tranquility, sitting in his own lands, doing more private tikkunim, private ideas of working on other people and not going for other, doing anything out there. That's the idea behind it. The Arizal said, the lands that were given by the Goral were perfect for that reason. Zvulun got by the sea, as we learned, and Yisachar had luscious fruits in his land where he didn't have to work hard. He was able to simply just sit back, relax, and do everything he needed in that way. That's the idea behind it. Rav Nachman Mibreslov has an idea that many people fall prey to taivas mamon. Taivas mamon means their desires for money and wanting to be involved with all the physicality of this world. It's very difficult to take yourself out of that type of yetzirah. But Zvulun, because they were connected to Yisachar, were able to do so. They were able to go to business and not say to themselves, not be involved with all those taivas that were around them. They were able to hold themselves back, make themselves Why? Because they were connected to a Talmud Chacham who was learning for them the entire time. That's the idea. The Arizal says that sadness, when one is doing business, is a skula for losing all of your money. It's a crazy line. But being sad when you go to work is a skula for losing your money. The reason says you should be happy when you're going to work. Happy when you're doing everything. That's smach zvulun b'tzeisecha. That he should be happy when he goes out there and does everything. The Rizal says that comes from his idea of I'm involved in Torah learning the entire time while I'm out there. That's the idea behind it. Now, we're going to get to the chidah. The question really becomes, so how does the sucker zvulun relationship work? How does this go exactly? How does such a thing happen? So the Chidah says that Zvulun should be happy that he's Zoched Olam Haba. that according to Chidah, even though Zvulun has not learned the amount of Torah that he wanted to learn, because he couldn't, he was working all day, and as much as he'd want to learn for 10-12 hours a day, he can't. So when he goes up to Shemayim and he sits there with all these great rabbis who are there who have been learning their whole lives, he's going to feel like, I don't know as much as they do. Says the Chidah, it's not what happens. When a Zvulun goes up to Shemayim, he takes on all of the learning of all of the people that he supported. He takes half of whatever they did, he takes half of it, and he has all of that in his head. He's automatically a Talmud Chacham. He knows tons of things that he never knew in this world, because when he gave the money for it, that's that. If a person, let's say, supported the Mir Yeshiva for a month, for 1 month, he supported the Mir Yeshiva and he gave enough money for it to go for a whole month, he gets half of that month's worth of learning. Of 7,000 people that are learning in the Mir Yeshiva, he gets all of that half of all of that Torah that they're learning, says the Chidah. What's up, Jake?
Lose that half?
Good question. So we're going to get to that. But the Chidah says that's what ends up happening. Now, that means that it goes to him as a secret of the Torah. What's up, Mayor?
How do we explain the Gemara and Brachos? Think of the sixth pair. My focus of a stopping, picking that up, whether or not.
Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai versus Rabbi Tarfon. Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai says you're only supposed to learn, and that's that, right? And Rabbi Tarfon says, right, that no, you're supposed to do both. You're supposed to work and have at the same time. Rabbi Tarfon, by the way, was an extremely wealthy individual. Rabbi Tarfon had tons of land. Rabbi Akiva actually took Meiser off. He was in charge of the Aniyim. Rabbi Akiva, he took Meiser Ani off of the lands of Rabbi Tarfon. It was a huge amount of money. I forgot what the number is. 400 something or other that he took off of the land of Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon was without a question a very wealthy individual, and he held that way, that it has to be both. This was a business venture. Think of it that way. It wasn't that the sucker was shirking his responsibility to support his family. This was a real deal made by the suckers and the Zvulins, in which they told the Zvulins, if you work, we're learning, or that was the deal made by the Zvulins. We'll work, you go learn for us. And there was actual deal made. The lechatchila, the best situation was that a guy can do both. The reality of Yisachar Zvulun was the Zvulun realized he couldn't do both, and the Yisachar realized he wouldn't be good in business. You send certain people out into business, they're not going to be successful. You send certain people out to learn, they're not going to be successful. You try to do both, they're not able to do both. So this was the reality of the situation that they made, which is not like Rabbi Tarfon or Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai, or if it's anything, it's more like Rabbi Tarfon. Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai said, just learn and don't worry about anything. Your parnassah is taken care of. Reuven's side. What do you mean by Reuven? Even Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai would have to understand that there are some people who don't have the ability. You should know, however, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the way he understood it, it's a crazy line. Reb Chaim Kanievsky understood that even so, you should still stay in learning. Even if you're not able to, you should still stay in learning. Listen, Reb Chaim Kanievsky is a perfect person to talk to. I don't know much of it. Obviously, I wasn't there. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky supposedly was not successful when he was younger in learning in yeshiva. And the Chazon Ish suggested that what you should do is sit and learn Bikias all day. You should sit and finish Masechtas all day. So he did that. And everybody used to make fun of him. You know, he was just running through Masechta after Masechta after Masechta. And meanwhile, Reb Chaim Kanievsky became Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Even when a person doesn't have necessarily the head for it, you have a head for something. And in that way, that would be the idea behind it. But regardless, I don't know how Rosh Shimon Bar Yochai would paskin, you know, regarding those types of people. But I guess he said, like, everybody should do something. They should just be involved in learning, and that's it. Nothing else. That was his opinion. We paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, right? Although there are quite a few people who end up doing both in some certain way, you know, in some way, shape, or form. Either way, so that's the idea, that it goes into their heads. That's the Chidah's idea. The Chofetz Chaim mentions this as well. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the exact same thing, but the Gra points out that the only way that this works, and it's scary to say this, is if it's a full Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Meaning, the Yisachar says, you pay me half of your money, I will give you half of my learning. It doesn't work, seemingly, from what the Gra says, in a 10%, 90% way, where I'll take 10% of your learning and I'll give you my meiser. That doesn't work. It's 50-50, regarding the learning and regarding the Torah. And seemingly, the way it works is that the Torah, as you mentioned before, Jacob, the Torah that the Yisachar learns, half of it stays by him, and half of it goes to Yisachar. And in Olam Haba, he only receives half. If he finished Shas twice, he gets Shas once. If he did, yeah.
I thought it wasn't the star of learning. I thought it was like the knowledge.
The knowledge thereof.
It's not like the star, though. It's not like he learned to Shas twice.
It's not that. It's impossible to understand this. Whatever the star is, which is somehow knowledge in Olam Haba, that's what it becomes. I don't know how to translate that, but whatever it is, says the way it goes seems to be that it's half right in the middle. Rav Moshe also mentions that there's a big tshuva that's written by Rav Moshe and a Kovitz Halachos. It's not in the Igra, the tshuvos, and so to the Tzitz Eliezer, they speak about this inyan that go into the real Yisachar Zvulun deal. There are Rav Moshes that speak about Yisachar Zvulun in Igra Moshe. The one that I'm speaking about that deals with this gra and the way it's going to be, that it has to be a full deal, meaning 50%, 50%. That deal between them, it's discussed by the tshuvas on whether or not it can work out otherwise. So Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, how is it possible? How can a guy who's never learned as much as the other people, how can he suddenly get all the Torah in his head? How does that happen to a person? Meaning, I understand, after he dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just puts it in. But where do we see anything like that? We know that Torah is acquired through Yigiyah. You can't just implant a chip into your brain and then all of a sudden you become a Talmud Chacham. That's not how we work. A Talmud Chacham becomes a Talmud Chacham when they go over it 101 times. That's how you become a Talmud Chacham. So how is it possible for it to just happen where the guy just becomes a Talmud Chacham like that? So Rav Yaakov says, maybe this is the reason why Chazal tell us in Nida, Daf Lamed, that when a baby is in the womb of his mother, the baby learns all of the Torah in the womb. The Malach teaches it to him, and then when he goes out in the world, he slaps them and everything's all gone. Right? See, slap kids. You guys gotta watch out. So he slaps them and everything. The whole Torah is gone from them. He says, the idea, that's where this comes from. Exactly. That's where that ends up being from. See, the idea is that the reason why the Malach gets rid of that Torah is because Adam le'amo yulad. We were created to work hard. And in order to gain the Torah, we need to work hard now. In order to do that, you have to work hard. But says Rabbi Yaakov Kanetsky, a big chiddush. He says it doesn't have to be that you work hard in your learning to gain the Torah. If you potter yourself by working hard in business, that allows you to get the Torah, so to speak, for free. You should get the Torah for free in the first place. The Malach gave it to you already before you came in the world. You were born with Torah inside your head. But you lost it because you need to work hard in this world. So you can work hard in Torah, or you can work hard in something else. It doesn't matter. As long as you work hard, you have the ability to gain Torah in some way, shape, or form. That's how they understand it. What's up, man? Yeah, 100%. Meaning your chiyuv of Agisav Yom Valayla is now being accomplished by that guy. And so too with any other chiyuv of Talmud Torah, so to speak, is being yotze through that guy. That's how we're understanding it right now. What's up, Jake?
You picked the wrong guy who's lazy.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy. First of all, it's scary to be in a Yisachar's ruling relationship. Because every minute you're battling for that guy. 30 seconds are gone from that guy. That guy's cheshbon is all gone. It's scary thing.
I still work. I mean, it's the work. I still did the work that I should be able to start learning. The only problem is that guy didn't learn.
Yeah.
It still did the work.
It's not asked by the Chidah. I forgot who asked the question. Hold on. It's asked by the Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef asked, let's say the guy learned his whole life and he's just a fool and he paskened incorrectly every time and he ended up with no Torah whatsoever. I mean, you paid for him and you gave him 50%, but the guy literally knows nothing. So first of all, choose wiser next time. But second of all, he says, even that might be considered Torah. Whoa, that was nice. But even that might be considered Torah. Meaning there's a possibility of a guy, even if he can't paskin correctly, just sitting and learning Torah still is something that gets back to what Ephraim said before. What's the schar of learning Torah? Is it actually gaining in knowledge? Or is it something where it's just you have Torah inside your head? bread. That's the important part. Okay, we have a lot to do with all this. Reb Chaim Vital takes it a step further. You ready for this? We all know that while you're learning Torah, it's a Gemara and Sota, Daf Chaf Aleph. It's Megin U'Matzil. It protects you and saves you when you learn Torah. Says Reb Chaim Vital, just like the person learning Torah is protected and saved, the person doing Yisachar Zvulun relationship is also saved and protected. The Zvulun who's working and giving some of his money over is also the exact same thing. He's protected and saved by the Torah learning of that Yisachar. Says Reb Chaim Vital, he doesn't have to worry about anything. And that's what he's happy for. The Chasam Sofer says the same thing. He adds to it as well. Says the exact same thing over here. Reb Shua points out, this is really in the Gemara. That Gemara in Sota says, there's a guy by the name of Shimon Achi Azariah. And the reason why it's called Shimon, the brother of Azariah, is because Azariah supported all the learning of Shimon. And because Azariah supported all the learning of Shimon, whenever Shimon, the Tana, was mentioned, he was known as Shimon Achi Azariah. That's what ended up happening, that he was known that way. He took on the schar over there. So Hillel also had a brother. His brother's name was Shevna. It's mentioned over there. And Shevna told Hillel, I want to go into business with you. I want to do a deal with you where you get half and I get half. But Hillel had already learned enough where he said, I don't want it. I don't want to take any money from you. I just want to go ahead and learn. And he sacrificed. And we all know the story, right, of him being on top of the base medrash with the snow coming down on top of him, etc. He was extremely poor at the time. In the end, Hillel became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael and became very, very wealthy. But at the time, he was extremely poor and he refused his brother's deal of a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. He said, I don't want to take it. I'm not going to take something like that. That's the idea behind it. Now, we already talked about the parties, what happens if he messes up, so to speak, or something like that. There are other opinions regarding whether or not you lose out. There is an opinion that says that Yisachar does not lose out on his learning, that he keeps everything he learned, and all he gains is a little bit of Parnassah in Olam Hazeh, and that Zvulun takes on whatever Yisachar has in Olam Haba. That's another opinion that's brought down, so that the Zvulun that pays for it ends up getting Schar Halim Limud, but Yisachar keeps his whole Schar HaLimud, ends up going together. According to that opinion, it does not have to be a 50-50 split. It could be 90-10, it could be 80-20, it could be whatever amount of money. Whatever amount of money you give, let's say the guy makes $20,000 a month, right? He gives $2,000 to that Yisachar. So Yisachar ends up giving him one-tenth of his Torah learning, but he keeps the tenth for himself. But this Zvulun only gets a tenth of the Torah learning of the person that he just supported. According to that opinion, it goes the other way as well. That's the idea behind it. There are ways of understanding it and trying to go through, but that's the idea of smach Zvulun b'tzeisachar. When Zvulun leaves the world, he's happy. Yisachar bo'alavi. Yisachar is happy in his tent learning what he's doing. Jake, what were you going to say? What? For the Yisachar, it's a win-win. For the Zvulun, it also is a win-win. I mean, depending on how you're looking at it, they both go there. I mean, there's the famous story with Rav Shach, where a guy who was supporting Panovich went up to Rav Shach and said, it is a famous story, I'm trying to get the details down. He went to Rav Shach and he said, listen, it might have been like a Rappaport or a Rothschild, it was somebody very, very wealthy. So he said, I don't understand. He said, I'm making a lot of money. And I live in a huge house, and I have a great car, and I have a lot of money. And I'm supporting Panovich. I'm really supporting Panovich pretty much on my own. Without me, the yeshiva wouldn't be able to run. Which means I'm getting the Schar HaLimud of everyone here. So I'm getting all of Olam Hazeh, and I'm going to get a tremendous amount of Olam Haba. He said, so why would you do what you're doing? He said to Rav Shach, why would you bother doing what you're doing? Why don't you just become really wealthy, pay for someone else to learn, and then you'll get the best of both worlds? Why wouldn't you do that? Rav Shach, in his inimitable way, turned over to the guy and said, you have no idea how awesome my Olam Hazeh is. You can't imagine. You can't imagine. Rav Shach is looking at him like, you think it's awesome to have a huge car and a huge house and all this money and everything? Me figuring out a Tosfos is the greatest schar a person can possibly imagine. And you will never have that in this world. In the next world, I don't know what's going to be, said Rav Shach. Maybe I won't get anything whatsoever. Maybe you'll get an awesome piece. I have absolutely no idea. But in this world, you have no idea what this world is all about. You're not getting any scar in this world. My world is a billion times better than your world. That's awesome. That is awesome. You can only say that if you're Rav Shach. If you're somebody like Rav Shach and sitting out there, and you're sitting there and you're having the best time in the world while sitting and learning up at Tosfos. But that's an unbelievable answer by Rav Shach, in which he answered. He just said it's the other way around. The other way around. Okay, let's go. We have a couple other answers to go through over here. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the reason why Zvulun is so happy is because he felt he was doing exactly what God always wanted him to do. He feels very... what's the right word? Very, what's the right word for this? I don't have it. Fulfilled, satisfied, pleased with what he had. He was perfectly fine. Sameach b'chelko, I guess, is a line, but it's more than just that. He looks at himself and he says, I was created for this reason, and I'm doing exactly what I was supposed to do. For that, he looks at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he's so happy. He finds that he's matzliach in what he's doing, and in the same way, that's the same idea of Yisachar as well. When you start seeing siyata d'shmaya in your work or in your learning, that's when you're happy, you realize you chose the right profession, you realize you're in the right idea. And if not, then that's when you say to yourself, you know what, maybe I should be going in a different direction. Maybe there's something else that I could do to make it a little bit better. And that's the idea behind it, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That's the idea. And it's funny, the Klei Yucker says something which is very similar, but not exactly. Zvulun is successful in business when he's spending his money. It's bad to keep your money locked up like Scrooge McDuck in DuckTales. Do you remember that? The huge gold coins. Does anybody remember? Like the huge treasure where they swam inside? Good. Very good. Very happy. I'm very happy that most of you know what I'm talking about. Like Scrooge, like that would be terrible because keeping money in does nothing for it. It's better when you're spending it, even though there's a possibility you're going to lose that money. But nonetheless, you're putting more money in the system and you have more opportunity for gaining money from such an idea. On the other hand, Yisachar is better when he's insular, inside the tent and not letting it go out. Teaching Torah out in the public like this is not always the easiest way to keep everything in. Yisachar is successful in an ohel. Zvulun is successful in the seisachar, when he goes out and he brings it out in something else entirely. The last thing we're going to mention is the following. It seems that Yisachar does not really get a bracha here. Smach Zvulun b'tzeisachar Yisachar bo'alech. Meaning Zvulun is happy and when he goes out, Yisachar is happy in a sense. And then the next pasuk goes into the different things that Zvulun has, all the pearls and the tchiles and everything else that he has that Zvulun has in his life. But Yisachar, we got nothing. There's nothing that's mentioned regarding Yisachar itself. So why don't we mention it? So the obvious answer, the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Shach HaLatzairah, that's the Sifrei Kohen, the Talmud of the Arizal, Rechaim Kieski all say, when you learn Torah all day, you need no other brachos. You need nothing else. Yisachar gets the bracha of being involved in Torah all day. And that's it. What other bracha do you possibly need? That's all their answer, and that's an awesome answer. Again, that's like Rav Shach's answer before. You don't need a bracha. What do you need a bracha for? Everything's right there in front of you. But the Ksam Sofer says, since they were partners, Yisachar Zvulun, he says, it seems likely that Yisachar's children married into Zvulun's families. Zvulun's kids then married Yisachar families. So they're shvatim mixed in with one another. See, even though their children might have been separate, their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren were connected. And they owned the land. They co-owned the land together. And there ended up being some Yisachars who went out to business with their father-in-laws. There ended up being some Zvulins who started to stay learning like their father-in-laws. It ended up being that Yisachar and Zvulin were no longer separate tribes, so to speak, says the Chasam Sofer. They became so intermixed, their bracha went together. Their lands went together. Every bracha that applied to Zvulin and was really Yisachar's bracha as well when it came to learning and when it came to business. That's the idea behind it. The Malbim has a great answer. I'm not going to go through it because it's a little bit late, but we're going to try to say one last thing that goes through. The Radomsker has a really, really crazy idea that goes through this type of kedusha that goes through him. the people that used to come to the lands of Yisachar and Zvulun to do business with Zvulun. Zvulun would go out places and people would come into the land. The Medrash says that they were all Megayer when they saw this relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. They said, wow, there's such a relationship between the two of you. We want to be Megayer just like you. We want to be just like whatever you're doing. We want to do it as well. The idea, says the Radomsker, is that there's a ton of Kedusha out there in the world that needs to be grabbed and reminded that it's Kadosh. When a Yisachar is sitting in a base medrash, it's very difficult for that Torah to expand, go everywhere, and allow everyone to be affected by it. You have to be an awesome Yisachar for your Torah to break through the walls of the base medrash and get out into the rest of the world. This Zvulun is able to take the base medrash with him wherever he goes. He's able to go out there and he's able to say to everyone, this is what a real Jew should be like when they go and work. This is what a real Jew should be like when they do whatever it is they're supposed to do. See, the Yisachar-Zvulun relationship is not just a simple relationship where one guy's learning, one guy's doing business. One guy's learning, the Yisachar's learning, in order for the Zvulun to be affected, so that even when he leaves the base medrash and he goes out, he's able to use the whatever it is that Yisachar gave him, the hashpah in the base medrash, he's able to take that with him and bring it out and cause the kedusha that's out there in the world to be sucked to him, to be grabbed by him, and to literally be mekadesh the entire world by his efforts. That kiddush Hashem of a Jew doing business in the proper way, of him working in the proper way, of doing, making money in the proper way, of there not being any cheating, any terrible things that happen, that bracha of Zvulun causes him not only to be greater than Yisachar, but to be mentioned first to his older brother. Yisachar is there, but Zvulun will be happy. He's more effective. He becomes the person who's able to do more in the world, says the Radomsker, than anyone else. And he answers the greatest question with it. He says, how is it possible, I think Mary you were hinting to it before, how is it possible for anyone to potter their chiyuv of learning? Everyone has a chiyuv to learn. All day long, Vagisavo Yoma Valayla. You all have a chiyuv to learn. There's no heter to stop. That's called Bittul Torah. How is it possible for there to be a person like Zvulun who goes out of work? And the answer is, he says, because that's part of the job of learning. Learning is not just for the sake of gaining knowledge and becoming a smarter person. Learning is about affecting the world. And as Zvulun affects the world more than he Yisachar does. And for that reason, he not only has a p'tur, he has a chiyuv to do what he's doing and go out there and go with that. And according to this, says it's first at the very end, that's how Rav Shimon Bar Yochai understands the world. Shimon Bar Yochai was saying, every person should be learning Torah, and then when they do more things, they should be affecting the world through it. Even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went out into the world and did something. We don't know exactly what he did, but check out the Gemara Shabbos, Lama Gimel Beis, Lama Dal, Lama Alam. Made pits, made streets, whatever it was that he did. He allowed for the world to be affected from his own doings. That's the idea of how a Talmud Chacham should be, to realize that he's got to break through those walls, and if he can't do it by just his learning, he's got to show it in other ways. And that's a true Yisachar Zvulun relationship, where the guy himself becomes Yisachar Zvulun. We'll end with that for right now. So we basically went through the idea behind the bracha itself, the pashup shot behind the pasuk, and to understand maybe it refers to Zvulun going out to war, everything like that. Then we spoke about the Yisachar Zvulun relationship, and we spoke about what the chiyuvim are, what ends up happening with it, etc. And we ended off with this idea, and not only the Radomsker, but that Yisachar's bracha is included within Zvulun's bracha, that they go together, that everything is put in together. Shkayach, everybody. Have a great